Amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song tonight. Praise the Lord for the blood of Christ. All right, Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10, Wednesday nights. We've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua. Studied the man Joshua and all that the Bible had recorded about the man Joshua. And then we've been in the book of Joshua ever since. And made our way through here to Joshua chapter 10. And, of course, they're in the promised land. They're conquering the land. They were three facets of the going in. First of all, they prepared, then they conquered, then they divided. And that is the three points of the whole book of Joshua, is what was taking place with Joshua and the children of Israel occupying the land of Canaan. The last we looked at, the last message, was chapter 10, verse 26. It dealt with the judgments of the five kings at Gibeon. And judgments we studied is not pleasant, but it's necessary. And how important it is that we understand that God is a just God. And to have justice, you have to have judgment. And we have to support the judgment and praise the Lord for it. And not only in biblical and God's judgment to the land that we live in and establishing the laws of God. But so tonight we're here in chapter 10, verse 28. We're going to be reading down to verse 40. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me. From the judgment of those five kings, hanging them on a tree before the children of Israel. And now we find that they just continue to conquer the land of Canaan. And God actually gives three chapters in the book of Joshua to their conquering the rest of the land of Canaan. And so verse 28, and that day Joshua took Makkada and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, he utterly destroyed them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain. And he did to the king of Makkada as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkada and all Israel with him unto Libnah and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also and the king thereof into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. Joshua passed from Libnah and all Israel with him unto Lachish and encamped against it, and they fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish. And Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him, none remaining. And from Lachish, Joshua passed unto Eglon and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on the day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Deborah. And fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron. So he did to Deborah, and to the king thereof, as he had done, and also to Libnah, and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, again, as we bow before you, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to be in church. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available to each one that's here tonight. And Lord, as if we've assembled here, I know, God, that we're a needy people, and we've already been blessed just by being here. But God, I believe you have a message for us tonight, and so I pray that you would help each one to be prepared and open their hearts and their minds up to what you have to say to them individually and to us as a church collectively. Pray that you might empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the scripture lists the same thing. The same thing being done over and over until the land was conquered and the enemy, in this word here, utterly destroyed. Notice how many times we mentioned that in the verses we read tonight, verse 28 down to verse 40, and just continuing to conquer the land. And it was the same, because God's plan, his design for them to go into every city was the same until they would have the entire land of Canaan conquered, until the entire enemy would be utterly destroyed. But utterly, in verse 40, but utterly destroyed all that breathed. Now, again, we look at that and we say, all that breathed? Wow, that's a little harsh. That's unpleasant to think about. But it was God's judgment. Only God knew the condition of these cities, the condition of everything that breathed in these cities. And just as God destroyed the earth with the flood, God seen all their thoughts, all their desires were evil continually. There's no hope for somebody that only lives for evil, and their hearts and their minds are evil continually. God knows who they would be. He doesn't reveal to us who's not able to get saved. Can I tell you? Because God wants the whole world to be saved, and all the world can be saved if they would seek the Lord. But God knows if they refuse to seek him. We have to trust that God's judgment is just. The evil in the land of Canaan went beyond the point of return, the point of looking to God and calling upon Israel's God to be their God. They had gone beyond that. And so we find over and over again, utterly destroyed all that breathed as the Lord God commanded them. Look at chapter 11, verse 9. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him, and he bowed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe. And he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Verse 15, chapter 11. And the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So what Joshua is doing is just fulfilling the commands of God. Verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses. The whole land now. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. And then he gave another chapter to the very same thing in chapter 12, but in chapter 12, It is to put it all together. In chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote, and possessed their land on the other side, Jordan, toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon and unto Mount Hermon, and all the plain east." And if you continue to read, you should read all of the kings that they utterly destroyed. But not only the kings, but all of those that followed the kings were in the very same situation, had the very same mindset as the kings. And so, and then verse 24 says, the king of Tirzah won all the kings 30-1. The Bible even lets us know. 31 kings. 31 kingdoms in this land of Canaan. All of them only evil continually. I don't think we could probably even imagine the types of evil that was taking place in this land of Canaan. For God, as he did Sodom and Gomorrah, to utterly destroy every breathing thing in the land of Canaan. And it was recorded, it is recorded for us to learn from. That's why it's there. So what can we learn from that? Same thing being done over and over until they fulfilled the will of God. We should never get tired of serving God. We should never want to change what God designed and commanded us to do. City after city. Can imagine what those soldiers would have experienced and what they had to see and do. And they continued 31 times. I mean, stop and think. That's what's happened. That's what's recorded. And we think, wow. How could anyone keep their sanity? How could anyone keep from their heart being hardened? Can I tell you, the Old Testament Joshua is like the old New Testament Apostle Paul. In that it was different, but what they had to do in the Old Testament was obey the commands of God. Only the grace of God could have enabled them to do what they had to do and continue to have sanity. And kept their heart tender before God and dealing with all the evil that they had to deal with. Focused on the promises of God. We'll look at that in just a minute. Understanding who God is. And once we understand God's design and God's purpose and God's direction for our lives, stop questioning that. Just ask for grace to accomplish it. You'll never face what they had to face to the extent that they had to face it. Just like Job, going through sufferings. You'll never face what Job had to face. But we handle it the same way. So God gives us an example of the extreme and how they were able to keep doing the same thing. Not looking to get tired, not quitting on God, and not looking to change and start letting who they wanted to let live, live. We think, well, they just didn't want to kill. They wanted to live. That's not what God commanded them to do. Capital punishment. Only God knows when a man deserves to lose his life. And that's judgment. Capital punishment is biblical judgment upon the things that are the most important things of life and living concerning the will of God. So, I think it might be a little easier to, at the end of Paul's life, look with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. God gives us the end of Paul's life. And he's trying to encourage Timothy so that Timothy would just continue to do what was being passed down from the apostles to the first for that first century church, which would continue to be passed down from the first all the way till now, 21st century. We studied a little bit of this on Sunday night. It's the will of God. It's not going to change. It's already been established. Jesus Christ established it. And so as he's passing it down to Timothy, he says in chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. Don't get tired of that. 2,000 years we've been preaching the word. Don't get tired of preaching it. Don't get tired of teaching it. Don't get tired of hearing it. Don't change it. Just do it. God knows what we need to be able to accomplish what he has us here to accomplish. Old Testament, going into Canaan, he had designed how they would consume and give the land of Canaan to them so that they could worship God in the land of Canaan. They had to utterly destroy all the evil that was in the land of Canaan. If they left the evil in the land of Canaan, then it would not have been what God wanted it to be for Israel to worship and to be the example to the rest of the world that Israel would become, especially through Solomon. Solomon's wisdom, Solomon's wealth, Solomon's way he handled things, it was a witness to the entire world. The whole world at that time looked to Solomon and Israel for guidance and for wisdom and for counsel. And how in the world are you doing this? How are you getting this done? No one in the world's able to do what you're doing, Solomon. Listen to me, Solomon would not have been able to do that if the inhabitants had not been destroyed and Israel had not have accomplished what God designed to conquer the land of Canaan. Judgment is not always pleasant. But it's required. It's necessary. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Don't get tired of doing that. Don't think, well, it's been 2,000 years. Maybe we ought to do things different. And sad to say, that's where a lot of the good churches are doing things different. They need to go back and study how Joshua was able to conquer the land of Canaan. Did the same thing over and over and over until they accomplished what God had them there to accomplish. The church is to do the same thing over and over and over until we accomplish what God has a church age to accomplish. So Paul's pressing that on. For the time will come. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So you stop preaching it, or you change it? No. You keep doing the same thing. Yeah. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's exactly what would have happened, ultimately what did happen with Israel, been taken out of the land of Canaan. But at this time, it's what had to be done for the land of for Israel to occupy the land of Canaan and set the example for the world that they did. History reveals it. There's no doubt about that. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. This is God's will for the New Testament church, for New Testament Christianity. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministries. Then he says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Joshua was able to say that very same thing. That's why I love the Bible character of Joshua, because he can say the very same thing that we find God allowed Paul to write here. I have fought a good fight. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What a great testimony. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul had that. He was aware of that. The whole time he was serving God. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. This world's not all there is. There is a heaven with rewards and blessings that will last for an eternity, which the Lord, the righteous judge, don't forget that, who's the judge? Who is determining justice? The righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, New Testament believer, New Testament church, not to me only, Timothy, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And when you're doing the work God's called you to do, you'll love his appearing. Amen. You'll be crying out, even so, come, Lord Jesus, when you're doing the work. When you're not doing the work is when you say, oh, could you just hold off for a little while? I've got some things to get right. I've got some things to get done. So Paul was aware of the promises of God as he served. Amen. Isn't that what we find right there? Joshua likewise was aware of the promises of God as he served, to do what the Bible reveals that they had to do 31 times in conquering the land of Canaan. Joshua chapter 1, go back there with me. Putting this together, because that Old Testament principles, New Testament truths, they go hand in hand. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto the people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Joshua, keep focused on what I've got you there to do. The promise is you're going to inherit the land. Because I've swore, or I've promised unto their fathers to give them. Chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Do you understand how they could have been dismayed, discouraged by what they had to do over and over again? It was not just some light thing to utterly destroy everything that breathed. But it's God's judgment. Capital punishment, we look back over the years and the different types of capital punishment. Jesus nailed to a cross. Capital punishment. People were beheaded. Capital punishment. In the United States of America, the electric chair. Not pleasant to look to. Necessary. Gas chamber. So we change because it's not pleasant. Not pleasant to think about people behind bars, so we just let them all out. I think we're seeing today how necessary it is for the judgment. It's not like God forced them to do what they've done. They had a choice. Every man has a free will since the very beginning of time. God created man with a free will. We all get to make our choices. But we do not get to determine the consequences of our choices. That belongs to God. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, promise, whithersoever thou goest. As long as you're doing what I've told you to do. Yeah. So now back in chapter 11, in verse 6, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Wow, God's promise. I'm going to do this. You've got my promises as long as you continue to do what I've commanded you to do. Don't get tired in doing it, and don't look to change it. So the promises are given to inspire to obey. If you don't know the promises, you won't be inspired to continue to be obedient. If you don't believe the promises, you will not be inspired to obey. Is that what? People just don't believe? Believers need to believe. Understand. And once you understand the promises, then that will inspire us to continue to obey the commands that God has given to us. In Joshua chapter 11 and verse 23, he says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. Took the whole land. Now, I love that because it says he finished it. He didn't stop. All 31 kings took the whole land. When God's people do God's will, others will benefit from it. The second half of that. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Because they did God's will, others were blessed and benefited because now they have the land available to divide between all the tribes of Israel. And not only do they have the land now to divide between the tribes of Israel, they all could experience rest. From coming out of Egypt to going through the wilderness, to go back into the wilderness 40 years, to come back into the land of Canaan, and finally go into the land of Canaan, let's not mess it up this time.
Let's continue to understand God's will, and let's continue to do it until we have fulfilled the purpose that God has us in the land of Canaan, so that we will have the blessed promises that God promises us. And so those promises of the land being divided and the promises of the rest in the land motivated them to continue to do it over and over again. Not quit and not try to change it. That's where we're at. That's what the Bible says about Joshua, Israel conquering the land. Much is the same today. We cannot get tired of service. Now, there's certain things that's going to limit us with our service. And sometimes our health limits us. But the desire inside ought to be, oh, I wish I could do what I used to do. Not, I'm glad I can't do that anymore. God, keep me healthy enough to continue to do everything that you have me here to do. Don't let me get sick so I can say I don't have to do that anymore. I don't know about you. My mindset is I want to be strong and I want to continue to do everything God has me here to do. But I have to have the strength to be able to do it. The strength, I can do my part, but it's up to God to do that which I cannot do. He kept Caleb and Joshua strong during those 40 years to return with the very same strength that they had. He can do it. Amen. But it takes a miracle. 99.9% of the time, God's going to work through the natural. And all of us are going to get to the place we can't do everything we used to do, but my desire should never stop. No. We've got different battle plans today. Then they were utterly destroy every breathing thing in the land, all the evil in the land. God knew when they're beyond hope. Sodom and Gomorrah, beyond hope. They were never going to come back. Land of Canaan, they were never coming back. Today, God's plan is for us to get saved. And once we get saved, where they were to destroy the evil in the land, we are to crucify the flesh, which is the evil in our bodies. If we don't utterly destroy the sin in our lives, we'll never accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. You'll never have the testimony that God wants you to have. You'll never become that land that Solomon would inherit to be a testimony to the world. Romans chapter 6. Everybody follow me tonight? Powerful application. Difficult thing to think about. 31 times. Utterly destroying everything that breathed. Sometimes we just look over that and not even realize that it was real. It actually happened. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Crucify. Utterly destroy. Not
the evil in the land, the evil in our own hearts, in our own life, in our own flesh. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Let it not. It's up to you to go in there and get it done. It's up to you to go in there and destroy, utterly destroy the evil that's there so you can accomplish what God has for you to accomplish without the evil taking you in a different direction. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's good stuff. Yeah. Hopefully you're putting that all together now as the example we have in the Old Testament. And even though how ugly it might have been, it's not as ugly as a sin and what we're all capable of doing ourselves if we don't utterly destroy it. Don't leave any that breathe. Galatians, of course, this very familiar verse, 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In chapter 5, Galatians, in verse 24, it says this, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Crucified the flesh. When you thought, from now, when you read that, think about Israel. Think about Joshua. And going into every 31 kings, utterly destroying. Because it was all evil that was beyond hope and that would only influence them to do evil. Utterly destroyed the sin in our lives. Colossians in chapter 3, the New Testament has much to say about this, and yet we need to connect the dots. The Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, because there's a lot of promises concerning the things that are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. That's how you do it. That's how you don't get hardened to it. That's why you just continue to look to the promises of God and look to the reality of heaven and who it is that's given us the commandments on what we are to do. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, promise, he is coming. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Because of that, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, which is lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Wow. When God's people do God's will, others will benefit from it. Parents. When you are doing God's will, accomplishing what God has you there to accomplish, your children will benefit from it. You know the thing that destroys most people is the sins of their parents. You know why the teenage suicide rate is so high? Sins of the parents. There are other occasions I know, but overall majority, sins of the parents. Satan gets a victory in children's lives. With a born-again believer, when God's people do God's will, others will benefit from it. For born-again believers, who benefits from you doing God's will? The whole world. Because you're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus commanded. That's what Jesus taught. Light of the world. Believers doing the will of God. Salt of the earth, making a difference. The earth. Not just your family, just not your children, but all people everywhere. Because God's will, first of all, is to get saved and crucify the flesh, and then to reach and disciple the world. That's the Great Commission. In closing, Luke in chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, the resurrected Savior, giving final instructions to the church, to believers, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their eyes, opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Church, we cannot stop winning the lost and discipling them. We've been doing it for some 2,000 years. We'll do it for another 2,000 years if the Lord desires. All you have to worry about is about 80. Or maybe not even that long. But let's not get tired of it. And come on. Let's not look to change it. The least any born-again believer should be able to do is support a soul-winning church. The very least. Don't leave a soul-winning church to go to a non-denominational, non-doctrinal, anything goes and call it a church. Jesus established his church. He gave his church the commission, and we had better not get tired of it, and we better not look to change it. We need to continue just to do it. Think of Joshua. 31 times. Utterly destroy everything that breathes so that I can establish a testimony in the land of Canaan. Keep on doing what God's called us to do. With all the promises at the forefront of our minds. The promises will encourage you to keep doing what God's called us to do. If I could have every head bowed tonight. You read that and you think, what is there to get out of that passage? And when you truly break it down, maybe the most powerful of all the passages we've studied so far, Father, we bow before you and we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Pray that you'd help us to make whatever application necessary. In Jesus' name, amen.